Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we want to lift up Michelle right now, who's in the hospital. We pray for her, Lord, that that delivery would be smooth, that the health of the baby would be great, and Lord, everything would flow just smoothly. We pray for Rachel, who's on the mission trip, Father, and Lord, once again, we pray for your anointing, your blessing there, that you protect her, that you keep her. And Lord, all the sick, all the good news that we got, the young ladies that are pregnant, Lord, we pray your health upon them. Lord, we pray your anointing upon those young children, even as John the Baptist was in the mother's womb and leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. And Lord, we pray that we would leap for joy, Lord, as we hear your word brought forth today. Lord, bless Pastor John as he brings forth your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen. Amen. Well, if you were here for prayer earlier this morning, you might have heard Dan mention that this past Friday night, I went to a banquet. We went to a banquet, the SSI, Student Statesmanship Institute banquet, and heard a man speak by the name of George Barna. And the guy's pretty famous, actually. He's written over 50 books that have to do with the state of the church in America and the state of Christianity in America. And one of the trends that he pointed out was that there was a large majority of people who have lost confidence in the current strength of the American character and in the Christian character of our nation, you know, in those areas that concern God. And the number of people who attend Christian services or read the Bible, who have a relationship with God, that number has gone down. And in they have graphs, they do all this, like these questionnaire things, they go out, they talk to people, they really get involved in the questions. He's an excellent pollster. And he said since 2007, there was a marked decrease in the number of people who are involved with their Christian faith to the point where they actually have a relationship with God. And not surprisingly, during the same time, there was also a large upswing in the number of people who felt that the direction of our country was we were going the wrong way. And it was easy to see, and the different graphs that he had there, it was very easy to see that, you know, that these things were in direct relationship with one another, and that these people they've lost confidence. They've lost confidence in our culture. They've lost confidence in our nation and in their lives. And you could see that the direct correlation as the trust in God, the relationship was going down, the lack of confidence was going up. Right at the same, they almost parallel to one another. So as Christians, we need to recognize that our relationship with God is what enables us to walk with confidence. And doesn't matter what the situation is, if we have a strong relationship with God, our confidence level is going to be high. Right now in this country, they're scared. There's a lot of people out there, they just don't know what's going on. They don't understand what's going on. They just feel something's not right. And they're right. Because when people are not trusting God and walking with God, things are not right. But God wants to put that confidence in us. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, and my heart will not fear. The war break out against me or around me, or terrorists do this, or economies fall, even then I will be confident." Why? Because we have God. This is real confidence. This is not a false, inflated sense of confidence based on our pride or based on our natural abilities. We're not talking about that kind of confidence. This is a real confidence. It's a confidence that is based on a foundation in our lives of a relationship with God Himself. This is a confidence that comes from the leading of the Holy Spirit, the confidence that comes from an inner working of God's Word in our life. And God is always searching for a people whose heart is after Him, whose heart is in tune with His, just like we were talking about guitar. If the strings aren't in tune, the sound is awful. But when the strings are perfectly in tune, you can have a beautiful sound. And when people's hearts aren't in tune with God, things can turn awful really quick. But when we are in tune with God, we can have a beautiful life filled with confidence. God is always looking for a people that He can empower to do His will. He's always looking for, you know, searching and seeking someone to fulfill His plans. And God found that kind of man in one of Eddie's favorite people, in David. You know, and he wrote that psalm that I just read a moment ago about the Lord is my salvation. Acts 13:22 quotes God and it says, I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David was a great king. He became a great king and a mighty warrior for God. How? How did he do that? He was able to do that because he trusted God. He put his confidence in God, not in himself, not in his own ability. And then because of that, he was able to boldly go wherever God wanted to send him and do whatever God wanted him to do. Sure, he messed up sometimes, but his heart always brought him right back to God. And he made it right again. And God wants us to have the same heart for him as David did, so we can go forward with that same kind of confident expectation. Whether it's entering into adulthood as we leave high school, whether it's learning how to drive or going to college or entering the workforce or even a new career, whether it's going into marriage, having another baby or your first child, or going on a trip overseas to Nepal, or parenting, or doing whatever it is that God wants us to do, He wants us to have confidence in being able to do those things. Are there going to be obstacles? You bet there are. Probably more than we would ever expect. And sometimes the worst obstacles come from right inside of us. And we always have to face our own problems, our own fears, our own doubts, our own discouragement, our own lusts or pride, greed, our own unforgiveness, our own discouragement, rebellion, laziness, you name it. There's hundreds of things inside of us that we have to deal with. And any one of those things can try to pull us off that path that God is trying to bring us down so we can live the adventure and live for Him. And whether we realize it or not, it's when we step off that path, the path of righteousness, the path that God has called us to, that's when our confidence then begins to slip. When we're walking with God and we're straight with Him, we're strong. We step off the path, we start to be double-minded, unstable in all of our ways. We start to have fears and doubts. We start to worry. We start to get hit in ways we're not used to. We begin to worry and wonder. And on top of those eternal things that we have to deal with, there's always going to be, you know, the things that are in the world that are also going to or tend to knock us down or distract us. And, you know, friends that entice us to do things or, you know, that we maybe know we shouldn't be doing, or enemies that attack us or speak evil against us, or material things that seduce us and lure us to run after them, or entertainment that constantly distracts us, or jobs that consume us, or you name it. There's all these things out there that are vying for our attention, are and oftentimes knock us off that path too. And then, of course, there's always the demonic aspect, that realm. A lot of people don't even recognize it. Some people don't want to recognize it. They don't want to believe it. But the truth is Satan can't stand a loving, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, confident Christian. He can't stand that. And so we always need to be aware, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. It might not seem like it's a fair fight. And you know what? It's not, because the devil doesn't stand a chance. We got the upper hand. Whether we feel like it or not, that doesn't make any difference. The truth is, we have the upper hand. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God wants, he wants us to know that we can trust in him. That he's greater than anything we're going to face. He wants us to walk in our calling and in our purpose, our destiny, with confidence. And he's working to make that happen. To make exactly that happen. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't start something for no reason, and then once he does start something, he's definitely not a quitter. So if God started something in you, if he brought you into his family, if he began working in you, he's going to carry it on to completion. That's what he does. What does it take to be that person who can put their confidence in God? Well, the first thing we have to do is realize that God is more than adequate. His power is more than adequate for any situation that we could ever encounter. There's nothing that God is not able to accomplish. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. We can't even measure how much more God is able than what we need. That'd be like if you came up to me and you said, I hate to ask you this, but do you have like $20 I could borrow? I really need it. We open up a little pouch and give them 50 gold coins that are worth, $500,000. And they start looking at it and they just, whoa, what is all this, That'd be nice to have happen, wouldn't it? God's power is even better than that. It's immeasurable. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power, to that power right there that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. That's all generations. That means it comes all the way down to us. When that word was written, it was talking about into the future, that God's power is still there. And that includes us. That power is most often seen in us. It works through the Holy Spirit working in us. God is, remember, it says that in Acts 1:8, it says that we will be filled with power. We have to look at our problems squarely in the face. Those things that we're dealing with, those obstacles that we come up against, or that things that come against us, we have to look at them, and then we bring it to God. We get into his word, we bring it to him in prayer, and we sort of dig down deep inside, and we recognize then that there is no problem, including whatever one we're dealing with at the time, that God, in his infinite power, cannot overcome. We've got to get that into us, that there's no problem that we have that is too big for God. God's bigger than any. He's a big, big God. He's a big God. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. And yet then we go home and we say, well, my husband will never change. My wife will never change. I'll never make this. I can never do this. What just happened to the belief in God, that God's bigger than all things? I'll never get over this fear. I'll never be able to, you know, stand up and say this. I'll never be able to go there. I'll never be able to deal with this. I'll never beat this thing in my life. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. With God, we can do all things. God's word never fails. His word never fails. And he tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. So who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe our emotions, our deceitful heart, our limited mind, or are we going to believe God's word? When our heart is in tune with God's heart, when they're vibrating together, God's word becomes very powerful in us. We feel it. We believe it. We know it. We sense it. Matthew 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit. Joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. See, God's word will go in there and say, you got an attitude, buddy. You got a problem. Let's deal with it now. You got a sickness in your emotions. You got a sickness in your thinking. Let's deal with it now. God will speak to us. His word will speak to us and show us the truth. It's powerful. It's effective. We begin to look at problems and say, you know what? I know there's a way. I know that God has a way to deal with this. I know that God will work something out in this. Why wouldn't God do that? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he want to help us? He's a loving Father with all power. The next thing we have to do is we have to realize, to be able to walk in that confidence, we need to see how much God loves us. That his love is beyond our comprehension. We already talked a little bit about today, I mentioned during communion, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Another scripture in Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors. In all these things we're just talking about, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, none of my failings, none of my fears, none of my doubts, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. One more, Ephesians 2:4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by his grace that we've been saved. So we have to get hold of this love. You know, and have you ever noticed the confidence that you have in a relationship when you know that the particular person that this relationship is with, that they care about you, that they love you? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's your husband or wife or parent or child or your best friend you've ever had, and it doesn't matter what happens, you know they're there for you. Everybody loves to have a friend like that, somebody close like that. And you don't worry about it. You don't worry, you know? Well, God's love is far more perfect than that friend's love. His love is all-surpassing. His love is everlasting and will always be there for us. And it's this perfect love like that casts out all fear when we are in tune with it, when we recognize it. Knowing we are loved by God and having no fear then means we can walk in confidence. We also need to appreciate the fact that God is actively involved in our lives. He's not an absentee landlord. He's not some God who just set things in motion and then disappeared. We already saw in Philippians 1:26 that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So there, it's telling us right there, he's working in our life. But we also know Romans 8:28, which says, in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. He's working in us for the good. He's taking those situations in our life and he's using them to work in us. He's always at work. Ephesians 3:20 says, his power that is at work within us. I could go on and on about scriptures that talk about this. We may not recognize it. We may, you know, but we can be confident that God is actively at work in us. Sometimes we don't realize what he's already done in us. Do you ever notice when you you meet somebody that you haven't seen, or you meet up with somebody, I should say, you haven't seen them in a long time. Maybe you knew them when they were a young person. Maybe a young girl, like Sarah back there. I knew her as a young girl. And then all of a sudden one day she shows up as a grown woman, and it's like, wow, you've grown. Or, you know, you see, the real little baby, and then all of a sudden, a couple years later, you see him again. You go, man, well, that person doesn't see that growth that we see. They don't every day look in the mirror and say, oh, look, I've grown a millimeter, you know, over the last week. I think I can tell I'm, you know, an 80th of an inch bigger. You know, you don't recognize that little bit of growth. But God does. And the growth is there. And you can see there's a dramatic difference in our lives when God is working in our lives. I remember Ray Maldonado back there. I remember him. Oh, he's hiding behind the other Ray now. I'm going to expose you, Ray. I'm going to expose you right now. I remember back, maybe 2 years ago, and I'm doing it because it's a good thing. I was talking with the worship team, and I was saying, you guys, when God gives you something, I want you to speak it out. You know, if you want to say an encouraging word, I want you to speak it out. Ray comes up to me, Pastor, you know, I love being up here, and I love you and stuff, but I can't do that. I can't say anything. I can't speak in front of people. That's not the Ray I know now. He may not sometimes see the growth. And I can look around this room and see so many people that have grown so much. It's amazing the growth that goes on in our lives. And sometimes we don't recognize it. But it's there. Why is it there? Because God is actively at work in our lives. Every once in a while, we need to stop and take a look at ourselves and recognize what God's done. Look at the past victories. Look at the times he's worked in our life. Like David did when he got beaten down one time. He went and reminded himself of all the times God worked in his life. All the miracles, all the victories that he got. And it encouraged him and strengthened him. It gave him confidence. Also, yeah, looking at, well, that's a good reason why it's good to hear testimonies. When people share, when we share what God has done in our life, we encourage other people. True, powerful stories about God, about what God's done in our life, it's probably one of the greatest witnessing tools you can use. You know, I mean, of course, the Word is all powerful, but when you have a personal story, a personal testimony, a personal story about what God did in your life, how can people refute that? No, that didn't happen. You want to bet? I'm living proof that it happened. And how can they argue that? And you can stand on that, and then you can, hopefully that will open the door then where you can share the word. Another thing we need to remember is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. So if he helped us in the past, if he helped others in the past, why wouldn't he help us today? You think he all of a sudden said, you know what? That's it. I'm not helping these people anymore. I'm not going to be involved in this world anymore. I'm done. No, it doesn't work like that. And he's not a respecter of persons either. He wants to help you just as much as he wants to help me, just as much as he wants to help somebody else out there. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never, never will I forsake you. God is telling us that he is here for us, that he always has been and he always will be. We can be confident in that. We can bank on that. I have a lot more confidence in God's word than I do on my bank, or on my bank account, or on a brokerage house, or on a safe deposit box, or anything like that. Any of those things can disappear in a flash. But not God. Not his word. He will never abandon us. Jesus has our back. We can step out and we can do his will with confidence because we know that Jesus has our back. The Holy Spirit will be right there to show us, to teach us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to remind us of the words. Hebrews 10:35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Do not throw away your confidence. God knows that it's only when we are confident in him and in his workings and in his working in us and through us that we will really start to step out and move in his power. And that's what he wants. He wants people who will get out there in the world and start really ministering his love and sharing his love and revealing it. Him to others. And so he wants to build that confidence in us. So then after that, then he can put us in all kinds of situations that will bring glory and honor to his name. And that's when the fun begins. That's when the adventure begins. Then it'll be our turn to press on. Our turn to move forward and to slay the giants. To kill the lions and the bears, to tear down the walls, to cross through the waters, to do those kind of things that we read about. All those stories in the Bible, they're all true, and they all are giving us an idea of what God can do for his people and for us. We can resist the devil and we can watch him flee. God wants every one of us to be able to live our lives. To live our lives as we're going forward with a confident expectation. Knowing deep in our heart, without a doubt, that God is for us. Because God loves us. And that God is working in our life. And he will never, ever stop. He will never leave us. And that his power knows no end. And nothing can separate us from his love. And he will fight for you. He will go out in front and fight for you. He'll prepare a way. He'll make a way where there is no way. He will accomplish great things through you as you walk in confidence. How can you lose? How can you possibly lose? You can't. You can't. So I would just encourage you. Put your trust, put your confidence in God above all other things. He's an anchor for our soul. He's our strength. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our salvation. He's our rock. All these things, these images he's trying to give us. He wants us to know that there's nothing, nothing like him. And he's ours. He's given himself for us. He humbled himself and became a servant. God, the King of Kings,
came here to serve you. Came here to die for you. And now he just says, believe it. Believe it. I'm real. I'm here for you. Whatever you're going through, I'll be there for you. I'll walk you through it. I'll see you through it. I'll bring you through to the other side, and I'll welcome you home. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began that good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day you go home and meet Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Hallelujah. If I could have the prayer team come forward too. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much that you're the kind of God that we can put our confidence in. There's nothing else as solid as you. There's no one else that loves us like you do. There's no one else that has the power that you have. There's no one else willing to sacrifice as much as you have for us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives, for helping us to walk in obedience, even when it hurts. To walk in obedience, even when we maybe don't understand, but we just follow your word. Help us to do your will, to trust in you, to live for you, to be obedient to you. And to, Lord, I pray that we would also, as we walk in that confidence, that we would see that it's just as much for this life as for the life to come. That we know that you want to bless us here and now in this life. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We put our confidence in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. If you need prayer for anything at all, I just want to encourage you. When you come up here for the prayer, let me say this. You know, when we come up for prayer, we have people that we bring up here for the prayer team, and we trust them enough to bring them up here, that when they're here, it's not because there's this giant anointing and they are the prayers of the year or of the century or whatever. What we're believing is that God's anointing is on them as they come up and stand in this position, because they're answering that call that we have. I have confidence that when we ask people to come up here and pray, it's their prayer. It's as they lay hands on you and pray for you that God wants to work through them and in you. And so, you know, you might say, well, gee, I don't really know, you know, Ed and Jenny. I don't know Ray and Gloria. I don't know, you know, these person or that. It doesn't matter. We know God, right? They're standing in the place for God. They're standing there and they're allowing themselves to be a vessel. They're a vessel to be used to pray for you. As they lay hands on you and as they pray, we just believe that God's anointing, God's blessing will flow. So if you ever need prayer for anything and you want a touch from God, I encourage you to come up and get prayer. All right, don't forget about Wednesday night home meetings. Prayer next Sunday at 8:30. Bible studies, all the good stuff. All right, have a great day. God bless you. Thanks for coming out. Coffee and donuts upstairs. Your little shepherd songs are going to make the whole world sing. And I'm going to make you king. So come on, let me dream for you. I am strong.
Plans for your big wedding day. You and Joseph gonna be a picture perfect family.